so, so thrilled that you're joining in. Today, I'm joined by Rachel Smith, host of the incredible podcast, To Grow Good. Rachel's podcast is a podcast that highlights conversion stories. It's inspiring, it's beautiful, it's incredible. I ask Rachel some different questions about how she got started with her podcast journey and her faith, because Rachel has shared her own conversion story on her podcast. So let's jump in, and then when you need something to brighten up your day, proof that God exists, proof that God is working in the world, go ahead and listen to Rachel's podcast, To Grow Good. Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Hi, Olivia. I'm so good. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, I'm so excited. I absolutely loved being on your podcast, and I just think it's so awesome to have this like podcast swap thing happening. So cool.
Yes, absolutely. I know. It's been so fun to watch how I feel like God has connected us all. It's crazy. And how like I'll see you meeting other people that I also have met separately. I'm like, wait, what? So then we're all just like connecting. It's great.
And sometimes it's been like people have heard me on your podcast, so they reached out to me, or like we just, you know, we have these connections. And it reminds me, kind of a backstory, but I used to live in Texas for like about 18 months, right when my first daughter was born. And I just saw this incredible like working of the Spirit in this network of women. And so like, there's all these women who have this connection to specifically the diocese that I was in. And so I like saw how the Holy Spirit can move through women. And I just wanted to be a part of that. And I feel like, you know, it's always going to be in His time. And, you know, 2020 has been a year of the unexpected, but like His time and His way might just happen to be Catholic podcasts at this moment. And I'm super excited.
It feels like it. It's crazy. And there's more starting, and it's just, it's beautiful. It definitely confirmed even more. I mean, I already felt so called to it. And it was funny, like I had no idea this whole other world was out there. Like I hadn't even been on Catholic Instagram like at all. I only had like my own personal one, and I was having my conversion. So I'm like over here in my own world. And then when I felt like so pulled to do the podcast, I created To Grow Good Instagram, and it was just being like thrown in to like realizing how many Catholic creators are out there, how many Catholic podcasts are out there, like just how beautiful it is to watch it all grow. And it's been so fun. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I know. It's like, it makes me so happy to be part of something, bigger. You know, and that's what the church is, right? The church, we're part of the church. We're part of something bigger, but it makes me so happy to be part of podcasting in this particular, you know, when you have a calling and you answer it, you will feel that affirmation in all these other areas of your life. So, okay. I wanted to ask you, I didn't want to specifically ask you about your conversion story because I know that I've heard it and seen it somewhere. Where have you talked about your own personal conversion story?
Yes. Yeah. So for anyone that, wants to hear it or get background, I've shared it on the Girlfriends podcast with Danielle Bean. Okay. She asked me to come on. And then I also have shared it on the Feminine Genius podcast with Rachel Wong.
Awesome.
So it's there as well. And then I've shared another bit or piece with Spoken Woman too, which has been great to just, So definitely if you're interested in learning more about my backstory, you can go back and check that out. And actually on my next season of To Grow Good, there might be my own story coming. So we'll see.
That's awesome. But so I knew that your story is available for people who want to hear it. And so I kind of wanted to take these questions for you today in a little bit of a different direction. And I kind of wanted to think like, okay, we're coming up on a new year. What sort of things, because literally your podcast is a podcast of conversion stories. So whether you like it or not, you are becoming an expert on conversion.
And,
you know, if you put enough time into hearing enough stories, you're going to see similar threads. And so you've been hosting To Grow Good for a while now. Did you start it this year in 2020?
Yeah, I started it in May.
Okay. All right.
2020. So it went kind of all the way until November.
Okay.
And that's when I was like, I just feel like I need to do the holidays and Christmas and Advent and just, you know, take a break. And so, but yeah, the next season is starting up in January 12th. So
that's awesome. Okay. So I started Heart, Home, Faith in May too. So we've got like Catholic podcast sisterhood happening here with like same birth date sort of thing. But you have heard lots of conversion stories over this first season and in preparation for your second season. And so I'm really curious, is there one thing that you would say most conversion stories have in common?
Yeah, that's such a beautiful question. I love that question because that is something that I didn't even think about when I started the show. And it's been this beautiful grace. And I feel like it's the Lord speaking to me. And I'm sure to others who listen to all the episodes, because you can start to see threads between everybody's story, but yet they're so unique, but yet they have similar elements, which for me, I find the most fascinating thing to listen for is like the first moment that somebody opened their heart to the possibility that God is there. And that is kind of where the theme for how the episodes are named, because every episode is named by like a seed planted by X or Y or whatever it may be that first kind of piqued your interest or the first time that you really like opened your heart to follow the Lord. And a lot of that comes from my own story because I could pinpoint that moment for me in my life where I was like, oh, like I was just really struggling and wanting and longing more and for depth in my life. And that was like what caused my heart to open up to something greater. And I love to listen in other people's stories for that moment because it's always there. And what I've learned too is like even whether you grew up Catholic or whether you are a convert, that same element is always there. It's like when you decide, it's your free will working. It's grace working. But it's like that moment that you are like, okay, I'm kind of giving up my will for yours in a way. And no matter how small that might be, like literally it could be like in my case, clicking yes or like clicking play on a podcast episode that is Catholic related that I hadn't done in like ever.
Right.
It could be as small as that because even that is allowing – it's giving a little tiny yes for the Lord to be able to start to work in your life. And so I love to pinpoint that moment.
Right. Yeah. I think sometimes, so I was raised Catholic. And, you know, I think sometimes we think that it has to be this like huge, huge moment, like the, you know, our yes, our fiat, the angel Gabriel comes and appears to us and we're afraid, but we say yes, because like, that is what Mary did. But unfortunately, you know, we are not perfect. And if the angel appeared to us, we might be like,
I'm scared.
Because I mean, I don't know. So like, if you happen to see, you know, like the way that angels are actually talked about in scripture, versus how they're depicted in art, you'd be like, wait a second, something doesn't translate. Like people are really afraid of angels in scripture. But you know, it's funny because it is that free will. It's that moment when you say, you don't even have to say, I believe. You just have to say, I don't know if I believe.
Yes.
But show.
Yeah. Which you know? I love because yeah. And it's funny because not everyone describes it like that, but that's why I love to look at people's stories and like realize that moment, whether they realize it or not. Cause it was like, hey, that was you like being affected by grace. Like that was the Holy Spirit working in your life. Even that interest or that curiosity or that maybe something is beyond us, you know, like that is in itself like God working through you and bringing you closer to Him. And so, yeah, I love to reflect on that. It's amazing.
That's so awesome. And, you know, I think that we have so many, like so often we hear these incredible stories of conversion, but we think like it's the saints. It's only the saints. And so one of the things I love about your podcast is you just talk to normal people. You talk to me. I am not special. I'm just a normal person who gets mad at my kids and yells at them. Like, I am not special. So I just, you know, I absolutely love that like moments of conversion and moments of grace are accessible to every single person. Everyone.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. And that was something huge with, I feel like that was placed on my heart with starting the podcast was to capture that. Like I wanted, cause there was part of me again, in my own story, I listened to a lot of other people sharing their relationship with the Lord and in using like practicing the faith in the world. And that was so inspiring to me, even when I was away from the church. Mm-hmm. And that's what brought me back is like people sharing about this like living relationship with God that like somehow impacted and like formed their decisions and their life. And so I not only wanted to hear from people that were like really well known of like, how the heck did you like get to where you are? You know, like how are you so on fire? That kind of thing. Like, how did you first meet him? You know, like what happened that made you want to even do what you're doing right now? But then also I was meeting women in my local community and like they were sharing these stories with me that were just incredible. And I was like, oh my, I was blown away because I was realizing, and me, I was like, who was I? You know what I mean? Like it had happened to me too. And so I started to realize like this happens to everybody. Like if you allow it, it's there. And all it takes is for our little tiny maybe of a yes. And it's like, it starts to become like a roller coaster ride of just like, Lord, where are you bringing me next? And like, who do you want me to meet? And what am I going to come across today? And just, it becomes this beautiful journey of life. And so when I set out to do it, I really wanted to do both people that were super, you know, inspiring and well-known by a lot of people, but also people that were just in my own little local community or just like you and me who just have had our own little experiences, made us want to say our little yeses and have led us to where we are now. And just to watch, I just think it's awesome.
Absolutely. So I have always felt that the best way to evangelize, right? And evangelization isn't just about like telling people the truth, though that's part of it. The evangelization is really about bringing people into community with the church. And so, you know, like that's why maybe street corner evangelization when done wrong is not effective, right? Like, you know, the signs that say that like you are all going to hell is not very helpful because you need to bring people in. And I've always felt like it, just based on my experience and what you're saying too, the way to do that is through the example of an authentically Catholic Christian Jesus-centered life and the joy you have from it. So yeah. I totally agree with you.
Not being afraid to like share it. Because I think that was something that so inspired me in reflecting on my own journey too, is just like how now looking back at the conversations I heard between other women on podcasts like this, which is so crazy because it's full circle, but just like to how much that was changing my own heart, because just by them giving their little yes and being willing to share what their faith life is like, what their relationship with the Lord is like, and how that has brought them so much joy, an everlasting joy that's so much stronger than anything the world could offer, was so inspiring and so attractive even when I was away from the church. So I was like, I think it's just beautiful how he uses podcasts, for example, to evangelize, because it's just mm-hmm. like two people just talking about, you know, what they believe. Life. But yet it's life shattering for someone who has never heard people talk like that, you know? Exactly. So yeah, it's beautiful.
Exactly. All right. So you have, again, this massive experience in hearing people's conversion stories. So Rachel Smith, the conversion expert.
Expert. Gosh, I don't know about that yet, but maybe someday.
But I'm curious, like if you had to say what are maybe three key hallmarks for how God works in people's lives, what would you say that, you know, what are those hallmarks? How does God work in people's lives?
Yeah. Yeah. I love this question too. From what I've heard and things that I've noticed, I guess I'll just pull out some themes that I've noticed. So other than, of course, the initial little tiny maybe of a yes, sometimes a big yes, sometimes a tiny little maybe of a yes, it's like this crack in the door that allows the graces to start to flow in your life. The second thing I've noticed is from that moment, those little yeses turn into bigger yeses. No matter where you started, it continues to develop, and he'll continue to give you opportunities to say yes at a deeper level. And sometimes that's sacrificing something, or, you know, asking you to give something that you've never given before, asking you to share your story for a bunch of strangers who you feel super uncomfortable doing, you know, like it will grow and grow and grow. And that's something that was in my own story that in reflecting on, I love to look back on, is like how my little yes of like, right, for example, pressing play on a podcast episode eventually turned into me spending hours in adoration. And like looking back and being like, what in the world, Lord? Like, how did you do this? And it's through the little tiny yeses that you give, it grows. And then you're able to give bigger yeses without you even noticing what he's doing in your heart. It's working and you're growing. And even from day to day, it might not like seem like it, but then you look back like year over year and you're like, oh my gosh, I've grown so much, you know? And it's just so beautiful to reflect on. And then another thing I will say is that in that same vein, he changes hearts. He changes your desires, like your very desires. Because one thing I like to reflect on is like, I remember in high school, like I went through a period where I like dreaded going to mass. Like I just like didn't want to go. I was always bored the whole time. Like I definitely would rather be sleeping on a Sunday morning than like going to mass at this period of my life. And now I go to daily mass like almost every day, and I just love it and I can't get enough of it. And so just pondering that and reflecting on that, like what? Like you literally have changed what it is that I long for, what it is that I even desire. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's so beautiful about it, is that like it's nothing that we can do ourselves. It's what we allow him to do within us. And that is something that I've seen across like all the stories, is that one, their yeses grow, and two, it will, their curiosities and their desires and their interests will literally develop and change to be more pure, to be right aligned, to be in accordance with his will over time. And like how beautiful it is to see that through someone's story. And then I love to kind of reflect on, like, we always end the interview kind of like where they are now, but that it's this continued growth. Like you're not done just because you've had this experience and that you're here now. Like we just continue to grow in grace and continue to allow him to work in our hearts, like our whole entire lives. And so you could almost have like part two of everyone's story, like in another 10 years, like, oh, that'd be an interesting thing, Lord.
Hey,
I don't, that. Sometimes you have to be careful. I'm like, Lord, no, I'm not signing up for that.
No, where no. Are you? I mean,
or am I? I don't know. That could be really cool, actually, to have people back on to be like, what's happened ever since? But just how is this continued deepening of relationship, deepening of grace, as long as you're allowing it, and that you're, that free will never goes away. So like you can also stop receiving it, like, you know, at any, and not to get dormant or think like, oh, I've checked this faith box, so like I'm done growing. It continues to happen. He wants to continue to shape our hearts, you know, until hopefully, God willing, like we die and go to heaven.
Right. Like that's a goal here.
Right.
Not to just like get, I always think of it kind of like this, like stagnation
does not give growth. Like if you come to a pond and it's got stagnant water, well, what it gives growth to is like algae and yuckiness. But if you come to like a stream and it's running, like, hey, that's beautiful. It's clear. Like, you know, we got to keep moving. We don't want to just like start growing algae. You know, it's maybe a bad example, but like,
no, that's so good. And actually literally I was just reflecting on what my like word of the year and scripture verse of the year would be, and that so reminds me of what has come to my heart is like in there's like a little bit in the Psalms, and then there's some in Ezekiel, but about that tree, like the trees that are growing by the flowing waters and how they never stop like producing good fruit because they are by this flowing living stream, which it's exactly like what you're saying. It's like, as long as we're rooted in him, he's alive, and like we're just going to continue to bear good fruit like constantly, which I think is something too he's like teaching me right now, is that like, no Rachel, like this doesn't end, like I'm eternal, like I can just keep going and going and going, like you don't have to worry about this like ending or like getting it all in before like I run out of grace or anything. Like I'm going to just continue to give it to you. And I'm like, okay.
So it's a little overwhelming to think about it, but at the same time, it's like so, so incredible to know that he doesn't run out of grace. And like, you know, he doesn't run out of forgiveness or mercy or justice or anything. Like every good thing he has in perpetuity, because he is eternal. And that is, man, that is worth reflecting on for like a good solid 7 years. I love that depth of, you know, how much there is to think about, but that's beautiful. All right. So you were just, I think that's actually a great segue into my next question, but what would you say is the biggest surprise of how God has worked in your life? And of course, knowing that he's eternal and like how he's helped you come to understand that through scripture and through all these other things. But what would you say is the biggest surprise of how God's worked in your life?
Yeah. I love this question too. You have so many good questions.
Yeah.
So besides like literally changing, like I was saying, my desires, changing where I spend my time and like changing my relationships or what I put into relationships and the way that they're ordered and all those beautiful things. I would say that I still get so surprised when he actually manifests like in the physical realm, like in my life. And like he will literally like put things in my path that I know are from him. Or like, so for example, just the other day I was walking with my friend and we've been going on these walks outside in quarantine to like get out of the house and like just to get a break for, you know, a little bit. And so I had been actually doing that walk like literally every day in quarantine, pretty much like for my lunch break. And it's like a 3-mile walk around town. And so the other day I was with my friend doing it, and all of a sudden we come across this little card on the walk, which like I've never seen a card on the walk. And so I was like, like I wonder what that is. And I like went over to it. Turns out it's a Divine Mercy card. And I pick it up and immediately something was like, you should check the time. And so I take my phone out of my pocket and like I unlock the lock screen and it's literally 3:00, like on the dot. And I was just like, what? Like, because as anyone may know, like Jesus asked for that prayer to be said at 3:00 on the dot. And that is the time that he died on the cross for our sins. And so my friend and I just got goosebumps like all over the place. And we're like, how did this just happen? Like, what are the odds that we're on this walk at this time, find this card, pick it up at exactly 3:00? And so then we were just like, we need to pray this prayer. And actually neither of us had ever said the full Divine Mercy Chaplet. So it was like this beautiful grace from God, like inviting us into this devotion and into his divine mercy. And so we like stopped on the walk and we said it, and it was just a beautiful like moment. But just, that's just one example. There, he's given me so many things like that stop me in my tracks and just make me like realize like how real he is and how he's intricately like working in my life, and how when I have a question, like all of a sudden the next week, like I'll come across the answer, or like, it's just wild. It's just, I think that is the stuff that just blows my mind, because I don't know. And I know, like, it's funny talking to other people, because sometimes like people are just like, yeah, like, yep, that's how the Lord works. And I'm like, no, but like, do you realize like I picked this card up at 3 o'clock? Like, I don't know. It just blows my mind. And I think that that's maybe a gift from God. I don't know. I really do feel this like connection point when those kinds of things happen. And I'm like, oh Lord, like you're here, like you're right with me. And I think that's probably what I'm most grateful for. I also think he probably just gets a kick out of it, because I freak out every time. And so he's probably like, all right, let's give her another one. Like, but yeah. So probably moments like that, which happen like pretty frequently for me, which I'm so grateful and blessed to experience. So.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I love that, because, you know, what I think you're saying is that you're always amazed when you realize how active God is in your life. And like, he is not this like off in the sky waiting to judge us. Like, he is here, he's present, he's with us, he's among us, he is actively working for our greater good always. And, you know, it looks different for each person. Some people have that little nudge to start praying when they find Divine Mercy chaplet card. Some people, you know, some people have like crazy dreams. Some people have other experiences, yeah, or a conversation with a friend where somebody like all of a sudden says like, hey, I feel called to tell you this. And you're like, wait, what? But yes, you know, it's.
Or Saint Therese with her roses. Mm-hmm. That was another like experience I had in praying the novena to Jesus through Saint Therese, and how you can ask for the roses, you know? And she actually gave me roses when I was praying that novena, and then has continued to give me roses. Like, every time I see it, I just know it's like, she's like, I'm here, I'm praying for you. Like, I just love those things. I love the manifestations on earth of like God and his goodness, because it's just, it's so fortifying, and it mm-hmm. surprises me every single time.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so you just mentioned Saint Therese, but is there a saint that you feel especially connected to? Like, I remember when I was going through my conversion, I really struggled with scrupulosity. I really struggled with like feeling like I was never going to be good enough, or like I'd done too much stuff that was bad. And so I really connected to Saint Augustine, but you know, he had a big conversion. Obviously I was like, well, I was never as bad as you. So if you can be a saint, maybe I can be one too. Anyways, probably some disordered thinking, but he really helped me through some hard times. So is there a saint maybe that you feel connected to, someone who had a big conversion that's been instrumental in your own conversion?
Yes, that is so funny that you say Saint Augustine, because I feel like he's been reaching out to me lately. He's been coming up a lot. So I'm like, all right, get on board. Let's go. Because I have a whole crew that I often ask to pray for me. But I would actually say, if I had to name one or call one out right now, it would actually be Saint Paul. Okay. I love me some Saint Paul. Like, he is just so inspiring. I love all of his writings in scripture. He's just like, was so enamored by the Holy Spirit, and just like sharing and spreading so much truth and preaching truth. And just, yeah, he really, really inspires me. Especially, he had this like huge conversion, obviously.
On the way to Damascus.
yeah. So that has always, his story has always intrigued me, and like coming to know him deeper, I think it's been just a beautiful journey. And he's been one since like the very beginning I've like asked to pray for me. I also think it's very funny, because a lot of the, in my conversion, like you said, your struggles, in my conversion, the struggles in the beginning were really with like women in the church, and like what their role was and what that looks like. And, you know, a lot of lies that the world tells us about it versus like what actually is true within the church and how beautiful it is and empowering it is. And I kind of take it as a little wink, because I know a lot of people struggle with St. Paul on that specifically. And so it's this funny kind of joke I feel like I have with the Lord and St. Paul that, like, I just love him so much now. And he just, like, I feel like I get it. And I've grown so much to come to understand, like, all that he spoke about and how beautiful it is. And I have, like, in a lot of ways, I think a lot of people have him to thank for, like, stumbling blocks and then being able to overcome them. And so, yeah, so he's a big intercessor for me, for sure.
Oh, I absolutely love that. Okay, so I'm curious, just as our final question here, what do you think it would be like if everyone experienced a conversion of heart? And, you know, like, how would that change the world? But then, you know, from a uniquely Catholic perspective, how would that change the Catholic Church? You know, if everybody gave their little tiny yes, and then, you know, it started amplifying, what would you envision being what happened to our church? What, just tell me.
Oh my gosh, that's a huge question. Man, I know. It's kind of funny because looking back, I was so, like, naive. I actually, when I was having my own conversion, crazy conversion in my heart, and the Lord was doing all these things, I, you know, eventually started reading scripture, and I had this desire to read scripture with other women. And it just continued to grow and grow the more I was reading scripture on my own. And I went out in search for a women's group to reflect over scripture with. And naively, I literally thought that everybody, like, going to church, like, had the same conversion experience that I had. I don't know why I thought that, or, like, it makes zero sense now looking back, but I think I was just so wrapped up in what was happening. I'm like, oh, I'm going to find, like, other people that, like, also are, like, this on fire. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I quickly realized, like, that is not the case. But at the same time, the Lord gave me plenty of community and people that are, but also, of course, I encounter people that just aren't yet, you know, or maybe they don't fully, maybe they have at some level, but they're still on that path.
Right.
Which we all are. But I think, yeah, that has been one of the hardest things to come to realize, even though, like, of course, but, like, I think for me, it was eye-opening to come across people within the church that didn't know that God loved them, or that didn't know that God wants a living relationship with every single one of us, or that didn't know that these scriptures didn't only just happen thousands of years ago, like, they're happening right now. Like, the word is living and effective. And if there's a scripture verse that sticks out to your heart, like, that's God inviting you to go deeper into it. He wants to share something with you in your heart. And I think realizing that some people didn't know that was definitely disheartening, because I'm like, ah, there's so much more goodness here. But I think that if everybody realized those truths, I think it would absolutely change the face of the entire earth. It would, one person, which I love to reflect on with the saints, one person who gives up their will for the Lord's will and allows him to work through them in their lives can literally change, like, an entire community, which then can then change an entire city, which can then change an entire, like, region, which can then change an entire country. It's just, it's one person allowing the Lord to work through them, being his hands and feet on earth, can really, I mean, it works wonders. I've watched him do it through my own little yeses. And that's only, like, I feel like it's such a tiny fraction of what, like, he probably could be doing through me, but I'm trying to do what I'm able to allow him to take and do with what I have. And so I think, yeah, that is deeply, deeply ingrained in my heart now, is, like, to make sure people know that, and to be like, you don't have to fear, like, the Lord will provide. He will give you the opportunity at your doorstep. He will let you meet the person that you need to meet in order to accomplish the mission that he has for you, and that you just have to trust in that. And then it's wild to watch, like, what he will do with that yes when you let him, because it will change people's lives. It will change people's hearts, and it will change the entire world to be for God's will and God's good, which is the ultimate good. So,
right. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. That's so beautiful. And I think like we see this a lot of times when, oh, this is what I was to say. There we go. I'm sorry. I have pregnancy
brain.
Okay.
So
sometimes my thoughts get a little jumbled. but you know, I was reading the book Forming Intentional Disciples by Sherry Waddell, and her statistics about how many people come to church but don't believe that God has an intimate relationship with them or wants to have one, or that they're even capable of having one. Like, those numbers are alarming. And, you know, aside from the Catholic Church, like if the whole world realized how loved they are, you know, if every single person realized how loved they are by God, and then that little bit of love is just enough to start cracking open your heart so that you can start to say those little yeses. Cause like you said, it amplifies, they get bigger. Mm-hmm. It starts so small and then it gets bigger. And so, you know, it just would be such a beautiful and different place.
Oh, and a different world. Yeah.
And I think we'd really, really see that. It would be a great fruit of, you know, of the Holy Spirit working in our Catholic parishes if we started to see it go from like the center of the parish around the community. And I feel like that's something that, you know, I feel like that's something we're being called to look for. And I feel like that's something we're being called to contribute to.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I know that like everybody can imagine this world a little differently because it'll look different for everybody. The world would look different for every single person if we had the correct, you know, glasses on of how does God see me? But, you know, I just stepped back from my job at my parish, but I love, love, love my parish. And I love, love, love all the things that it does to anchor the community. And I feel like the Holy Spirit's working there and I can't wait to see where it's going. And yeah. Wouldn't it be so beautiful if in the United States, it was like this little tiny like sparks of conversion that just came together and made this beautiful, you know, enkindling of the fire of God's love here in the United States. And I feel like we're on the cusp of it. We're so, so close. And I want to be part of it.
Yeah, no, me too. I can feel that too. I think people are clearly longing for truth. And when they don't have truth, it only manifests deeper into a deeper longing. And I think that that's an opportunity. I also, it's so funny because I shared a little bit, but I feel like my experience, it was like God like throwing me in and being like
and then Rachel.
Yeah. And then I like quickly realized, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You probably put me here like for a reason. Cause like I'm very like on fire and like I've realized all these things and had this conversion. And then there are people that have been going to mass for, you know, or involved in the church for like 20, 30 years and don't know these things. And so it's just crazy to think about how he's working through our little yeses, but then how also the people he puts in your path are there for you to learn from too, and what mm-hmm. it is that he's trying to show you in your heart too. But I will say, like, I mean, from my little example of starting this women's group eventually in my story, I reached out to my parents after I found that scripture group of other women that I was longing for. I got another desire to bring it back to the parish that they didn't have any where I was living at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on for a couple months and I didn't really do anything about it, but it kept coming up and kept kind of poking or nudging me. And then eventually I was like, okay, I'll do it. And so I like reached out to my parish cold, and the person emailed me back like literally within a minute that I was sitting at my computer screen and said, I was just in adoration praying that somebody would step forward to start a ministry like that. And it was just so amazing. Like, this is what I mean, that God will like make it so easy for you. You don't have to be afraid. Like mm-hmm. he'll pave the path and make it very easy. Because then we show up for our first meeting, or like our planning meeting, and I bring the Blessed Is She Rooted study, and the guy from the parish brought the same exact study. So it was like, okay, the Lord wants us to do this study. So we did that, and now we have 63 women on our email list.
That's
so
beautiful.
It's just wild, like how exactly what you're just saying. Like, that is one little example of how he took a tiny yes, like, and just blew it up, like with fire. Like, it was like an enkindling, and then it created a community. So like, these women now know each other and like are talking to each other that have seen, some of them literally said, like, I've seen these faces for the last like 20 years, but I've never like talked to you. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, hello, like, we need community, and we need to share our faith with one another, because that's how we grow in the faith and grow in relationship to the Lord. And then he can work through us and in us, and then through all of the people in each individual's lives. It's just wild to think about all the, you know, ways he's working through it. But all it takes is one little yes and one little following of an inkling of a nudge, and to watch what happens with when you let the Lord lead. It's truly incredible.
Well, this is going to be the title of this podcast episode. It's going to be One Little Yes, because that is an amazing title for a podcast episode. Okay, my very last question, I actually didn't send this to you, but I ask everybody this now, and I just want to know, what is your favorite thing about Catholicism? And there's no wrong answer, so I'm not going to be like, you didn't say the Eucharist, you heretic. I'm not going to say that, because everybody has a different answer. But what is your favorite thing?
That's tough. Gosh, that is so hard.
There's too much to love.
I mean, it's, I think the word that's coming to my mind is truth. It's just, which I know it's such a tricky word, because we throw it around a lot in our culture. But that this is the divine truth that has been revealed to us on earth. Like, it's not my truth. It's not Olivia's truth. Like, it's not your truth. It's God's truth that's been revealed, and how we do have a place that we can go. Like, I love to reflect on how Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, like, what is truth? Because I just think it's so telling. It's like what the world yearns for. It's what we long to know. It's like, what is this truth that's beyond us? And the amazing news is that we can know it, or at least we can know what the Lord's revealed of it so far in the church. And I think that is what is one of my favorite things. Another one of my favorite things is what we were talking about earlier, but just like how that it's not up to us to change our own hearts, which I guess kind of goes along with the truth thing, but like, it's not up to us to define truth. It's not up to us to figure out how to love. Like, it's up to the Lord to change our hearts. Like, it's up to us to let the grace in, and it's up to the Lord, though, to do all the work. And so when you take that off of yourself and realize that it's not all on you to figure out, it's not all on you to know, it's not all on you to, you know, perfect yourself, like, only the Lord can do that. And when we let him work in and through us within the church and its sacraments, that's how our hearts change, and how the, like we were just saying, like how communities change, and then how eventually the world changes. So those are my two things.
I love that. Yeah. I was just talking recently about how one of my favorite things about Catholicism isn't just like that it's true, but it's that like you peel back and you look like, you look for arguments, or I guess like you look through things with a logical lens, and you see that like this is so well thought through. When, you know, you hear like secular reporting on church teaching, it's not saying like, well, logically, if you accept this thing, then like you go a few steps down the road and you would then have to accept this thing because same, like there's so many things that it seems at the surface that they make little sense, but then you dig deeper and deeper and you realize like this is completely rooted in
the fullness of the truth, right? Like you can't take something away from the fullness of the truth and have the fullness of the truth. You would then have a piece of the truth. And like, I love that Catholicism has the fullness of the truth that's, like you said, been revealed. Right. And that's something that
there's more. Like I love so much more, I'm sure, that we just don't know. Like, and like how, yeah, I love that. And I just love that it's beyond you or me or us or what someone might think or what someone might say. Like it's something that exists like beyond any of us. And that I just love that about Catholicism, that it's like a deposit of revelation from what God's told us. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. So just before we go, because we're going to go in just a second, but I want to tell you the one thing that I don't understand that I am going to ask God, please, you know, praise him, please him that I get to heaven. But I'm going to be like, hey God, what was up with the mosquitoes? Like why did you make them? They were pests. I don't understand. My kids always complain about their mosquito bites. Like did they sneak onto the ark? I mean, like what you, dinosaurs went extinct, but mosquitoes stuck around. Like I'm so confused about the mosquitoes, but anyways, that is, you know, it's just, this is just to say, like, I love studying the church, but we can still have questions and they can be silly, but like, I'm being completely honest. Like I am so honest in this right now. Like, please, when I stand before you and you, you know, are hopefully happy to see me, Lord.
God, mosquitoes of all things. Come on. That's hilarious.
I know.
You know what would be really funny is if like next week, all of a sudden you come across some like article about the importance of mosquitoes and their biological impact on the ecosystem or something. And then you're just going to look up and be like, Lord, okay, I hear you.
How funny. I know I am. I've been wondering this for years, but it's, you know, it's, The point of that silly story, which is also 100% true, is that like we can have questions that we don't have the answer to, but because of all the things that I have been able to find the church articulating in such a beautiful way, I have this great trust and confidence that I don't understand why God made mosquitoes, but I know he did. So there has to be some reason. And even if I don't know it in this life, I will eventually know it. And so, you know, that can go towards so many other things.
Yeah. I mean, I think of suffering is the obvious one, you know, that everyone's like, but why, you know, but I just love even that. Like, I love the Catholic view and, or teaching on the meaning or the purpose and the redemptive nature that we have to tap into of suffering. And like, even that is just like so mind blowing and like beautiful, I think, because I think we all feel similar about it in a way that it's like, why does this happen? Or why do we need this to happen? But yet at the same time, knowing that there is some greater good or purpose being had through it all. And just like how beautifully poetic that is. And even that is a beautiful thing about our faith, like that wonder and that not knowing, that mystery, but having faith in a good and loving God, you know? So yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, Rachel, this was so much fun. I so loved talking to you when I was on To Grow Good, and I love that we're part of the Catholic Podcast Collective together, and Spoken Women, and just all these other things. It's so awesome to see our paths crossing. And I feel like, you know, one of these days when the pandemic is over, we should have like a Catholic podcast, like,
yes,
meetup.
We need to have like a happy hour or something. It'd be so fun. Like we really should. And just like talk about some theological topic. It would just be so fun.
So my thought for that is if we like mapped out like the exact center of where all of us were located, my fear is that we'd be like put somewhere like super northern Minnesota.
True. Actually, that's true. It'd kind of be kind of a random spot, but
It would be so fun.
It would be so fun. Yeah, when this is over, we definitely should plan.
Let's do it. Even if it's
or maybe we should like all go to like SEEK or SLS or whatever, the Focus conference or something. That would be super fun.
It just would
like
be so
to fun. All meet and be like, yeah, that'd be great.
It would be. All right. Well, thank you so much for being a guest for me on Heart Home Faith. Seriously, chatting with you, I feel like I know my podcast friends in real life, even though we've never met in person, just via Zoom. But seriously, I'm looking forward to getting to meet everybody in person one of these days because we need to make that happen.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been such a joy.
Oh, I'm so glad. All right. You have a blessed day.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in to this episode of Heart Home Faith. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Rachel of the To Grow Good podcast as much as I did. I have even more amazing content coming down the pipe this April. I have pre-recorded most of these episodes because I have recently had a baby at this point. So happy Easter Monday. I hope that you are all doing well. I hope that you know how loved you are and that you're celebrating and reveling in His glorious resurrection. I'm off snuggling a baby, so if you don't hear from me for a while, that's why. I can't wait to jump in and keep bringing you even more great, new, fresh content from myself starting in June. Until I'm ready to come back, though, I hope you enjoy all of the great pre-recorded episodes that so many guests have been so gracious to allow me to pre-record and release a little bit later as I transition into being the mom of 4. I can hardly believe it. So if you hit me up on Instagram at Heart Home Faith, you might find some cute baby spam. But until I'm ready to really jump back into the podcast life, you'll mostly see some baby spam on there. I'm wishing you all the best and a most blessed Easter season. And again, a huge, huge thank you to Rachel Smith of To Grow Good. Until next time, may you feel as loved as you are.